What a great joy to be here. And I was seeing the weather forecast, and I was saying that by 10 o'clock it's going to be very heavy rain. It was almost like 92% chances were there. But thank God, still the nature is in His control, regardless of how many forecasts they make, that we could able to come over here. Okay, I want you to turn with me, Genesis chapter 32 and verse 22 to 31. And I want, if anyone can please read, I'm just using this Amplified Bible so that it have a more clarity on this passage. So is there anyone can please read this, either this one or maybe from your scripture?
Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What's your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip.
Okay, and when you read this passage, this is a very, very familiar passage, and is loaded with, I mean, thoughts for each and every one of us. But I don't want to dwell with, you know, all this, but just want to be the very center of this message. But as a believer, what thought first come to you in your mind when you read this? And the second, if you are, you know, you do your personal critic, it's called the textual criticism, you know, then you raise questions, if you have that a kind of practice. So if you critically analyze this one, I mean, just what kind of critical questions that comes first in your mind? So as a believer or as a textual criticism, what is this question comes to your mind? Is there anyone that you like to share?
How can man wrestle with God and prevail?
Yeah. You know, this is the one of the questions that has really troubled not only to the non-believers, but even among Christians, so-called scholars. And there are so many interpretations. So there are so many, as I say, it is packages of, this is a full of, you know, packages, this passages is, but I don't want to dwell with all of them, but only except on these matters. How could this Jacob, you know, you can say the wrestle with God, and he prevailed over, you know. So if you see, I was just going through what really led me to, you know, this is one of the Islamic group where this one critical said, they have posted this one. His name is Abdul Rashid, and, you know, he says, Jacob wrestles with God and defeated God. This Bible is not entirely the word of God. How can God in his mind tells us how Jacob defeated him? And it is a shame that many brainwashed Christians still value and cherish the Bible as the word of God. So if you really go through the Facebook, you know, search bar, and you search Jacob wrestle with God, and you will see there was more than hundreds of posts will be reflected. and all have different angles to prove that this cannot be God's word. But then what a funny is that this God is defeated by, where is this man? What kind of God this is? You know, therefore, if you have remembered my message on the 17th of February, I had mentioned you that the Bible is just very unique, that if someone's hand is goes, it can be sweeter than honey, and the other hand is goes, it's become very bitter. And, you know, and whose hand the Bible is and how he approaches the Bible, right? And if he wants to find a lot of contradiction in the Bible, he will find from beginning to end contradictions. That is the beauty of the Bible. And that's why someone has written 50,000 errors in the Bible. I had already talked to you on this matter on the 17th of February, on the fig tree when I was sharing. You know, somebody says, oh, Baba, Bible is a full of horrendous and sexual things. And it's very true. Some of the passages can really, you know, if you go some of the here I have written, and you read, it can just shock your mind. But that's why I say the criticism of the scriptures in two ways. One is that you approach with the doubt, and then what you carried away with that. But one is that, yeah, you should criticize, but it should not threaten your faith. You know, you should keep still your faith, but you go critically and to check why this God allowed this to happen. I can go on and talk on this matter, but you know, I have lack of time and I will go through very short in everything. You know, so going through, you know, the wrestling with God is not something very new to the scriptures. Throughout the scriptures, the man of God has wrestled with God. You know, if I can give you a list of this, but just few. Abraham wrestled with God about his nephew Lot's bad decisions. Moses wrestled with God about the rebellious Israelites. And Job wrestled with God about his suffering. And the prophet Samuel wrestled with God about Saul, who would become king. And David, he wrestled with God about king, who is going to try to kill him. And Israelites in captivity wrestled with God about their future. And Nehemiah wrestled with God about his conditions of his exile, returning to Israel. And Daniel wrestled with God on how to advise pagan king. And Psalmist often wrestled with God about his apparent absence. And I can go prophets, you know, and there are so many, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. But you know, what is the difference between this wrestling and Jacob wrestling? You know, this all wrestles in their, you know, with God and asking questions and many issues, but there was no physical attach, right? But when it comes to Jacob, he was physically fighting with God, you know. And that's why I say there are many views are there. You know, there are some scholars says that it was the Canaanites' God who actually wrestled with Jacob. And who are these Canaanite God? These are demons. And that cannot be right. When we read the back and forth of the scriptures, then it says, no, it cannot be Canaanite. The others say that maybe this issue, his brother, who just appeared early, and they had a fought with Jacob. But if you really look again in the scripture, it doesn't fit. Then, you know, some scholar says, okay, this is a mysterious theophany. Theophany is like the appearance of God in the Old Testament. Others say it is a Christophany, means the Christ appearance in the Old Testament. Augustine, who was a very prominent church scholar, he believes that it was actually angel represented God and fought with Jacob. Same way, you know, John Calvin and MacArthur and many others, you know, they say that it was the pre-incarnate, you know, the Christ who really said, whatever may be. But one thing is a very true, that is as an angel, I was a very Christ, the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament, in fact, because Jacob will say, I have seen face of God, right? So it was not just a man, but it was an angelic, maybe the pre-incarnation of Christ in a Christophanic, he appeared and he fought. And we can see that there are many occasions in the Old Testament, if you really see, you know, this, if these are the two areas, you can see the both God and Christ appearance in the Old Testament. Just go through very, you know, like the burning bush. It was the Theophany. It's a God appearing to Moses. And Mount Sinai, you know, there we see it's a God. The vision of Isaiah when he saw, you know, it was God. And the appearance of to Abraham, there's a three angels. One is they call Theophany, is the God. Now, when it comes to Christophany, he says the angel of the Lord, you know, in Genesis 16, who has spoke to Hagar, right? And then other is a wrestling that we are talking about. And the fourth man in the fiery furnace was the Daniel, right? So, now reading all these things, this makes us one sense is very clear about it. Yes, it was not just a man, but the very angel who could be the very Christ appear and fought with things. But how could this Jacob could prevail over God? That is not very digestible. I mean, this cannot be convincing that how this God, this man, could prevail over God. Now, in order to understand this passage, you know, we have to understand the very grace of God. And that is what we say in that, we have read in verse 30, you know, what Jacob says. He says that Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and saying, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is a spear and not a snatch away. What does it mean? Means he fought with God, but he's saying, oh, thank God that my life was not taken away. Means I was not killed. I would have been killed because I fought. But you know, he spared my life. It was the only grace. That's why, see, in the previous, he never used the word grace. But now when it comes to the chapter 33, there are all the time he is using these two words, grace. So grace word is not just a New Testament concept. The grace always and often used in the Old Testament also. That's two references I can see here. You know, the verse 4, it says, the God has graciously given your servant. Now he's talking with his brother, right? When his brother came to him and asked, oh, who are these people? Maybe his children, his wives, and all these animals and things. Who are these people? So then he's saying, this is a God graciously has given to your servant. Not he's saying to your brother, but he's to your servant. In verse 11, he says, God has given gracious to me, and I have all I need. You know, you see the life of Jacob initially, right? He was always in pro of grabbing things, right? Even he came from his womb, he was holding his brother. That was his mindset. You know, he went to his uncle, even as he started mind grabbing things. He's always a big grabber, right? That's why he grabbed even these angels. That you, unless you bless me, you know, I will not leave you. That was his mindset, grabber mindset. So everything, you know, I have achieved. You know, see, you know, God is. But you know, now, not me, you know, it is all by. He's a perspective change. He's a God. He's a graciously has given me all this, you know. And he's one of the beautiful things if you see, the God not only gives grace, but by doing this, he also proved that this very God, he accommodated himself with human. You know, and that is the what, you know, it is a, one of the outstanding truth of Christianity, of the Bible, that God accommodates himself to man. And that is also in submissions. Can you imagine? Can this be digestible? Can God, you know, he accommodates with man with submissions? That is Allah, you know, he demands submission, right? Submit me. I cannot show myself to them. I am the supreme. You are the slave. That's why, you know, Abdullah, all the names. What is the meaning of slave of Allah? You know, he cannot because you are far. That's a Gnosticism. What they say? No. This God is so holy that he can't come down and he mingle with the people. He is somewhere, you know, he is relaxing and, you know, he doesn't want to get interferes with these humans who is a filthy sinners. But here we see the message of Christ. He accommodates and he submit. That is a very, but we will see the next. If you see, can you play this video? The click is there? Oh, sorry. No. Can you? Clicking there? Not clicking. Then you go to the main video. Now, this video will actually help you to recall if you have seen a Narnia movie, right? A Narnia, that Arslan, you know, who was a lion, who was a picture of Jesus Christ. So, this is a very small clip to just get to your mind how much strength and time that this line needs to finish off this man. Right? How much is need? Not at all, you know. But see, this such a, I mean, dangerous animal, but still he has totally accommodated himself to this man in such a way that this man is totally overtaken him and he is above him. That is the exact picture you see here, that this God, you know, this, you know, how he accommodated himself to human. If you see this very angel, if he was just an angel, then he's the very angel, if you see in the 2 Kings chapter 19, you know, he just in one night, you know, he killed almost 185,000 Assyrians. Did Jacob have that much strength to fight with whether this angel or very the pre-incarnate of Christ? No. You know, he could have come, you know. But that is the reason, you know, when this man, he says, leave me. He said, no. But you know what he did? Only he hold the hip of Jacob, right? He just hold the hip of Jacob. And this guy, the whole life that he was jumping, you know, now he started limping. He just hold his socket and whole life he started limping. So just imagine the power of this man. He could have finished it up long back. You know, if you see, you know, whenever Christ and God appear, you know, he appeared in a whirlwind when it appeared to Job. You know, he could have come in hurricane just to blow him away, and he could have come in just an awesome display of power and just crushed Jacob to nothing. But he came as a man and he wrestles with Jacob and not destroyed him. And that is the beautiful, you know, that how is powerful God, you know, he accommodated himself to the weak and fallen man. In a moment he could have ended all. Does it remind us something? You know? So, you know, the God has not, you know, he left us aloof. He's always pro to reveal himself. And that's what the message we see throughout the Genesis. From Genesis to the Revelation. So we see this God, he's always pro to reveal himself. He has not left us that you sinners, you know, I'm just living to you. And you just go and figure out about myself. Like we have heard about this very old story about this, the four blind men, you know, they were left before elephants to tell us how is it. And they all have their own understanding. This is the how one religion is. You know, they all have got their own philosophy to define God, just like this. What they hold, that is their perceptions. But in the Bible, God has not left us with the blind and kept himself aloof, but rather he revealed, he's always pro to reveal himself. That's why through the Genesis, through the tabernacle and all this, he's revealing himself that who is about. So when we see about, you know, this all, does it wrestling of Jacob, does it remind us something? You know, that is what in 2000 years ago, the very God, you know, he became man and he lived among us. He came to us not as superhero, but our king, but as an ordinary man, and we wrestle with him. Isn't it? And at the end, what we could do? We could place him on the cross, and he loses. In a sense, we prevail over him. And he allowed himself to be crushed by this fallen human. But we were blind in doing all this. It looks like we were a winner. But when our eyes opened, we could realize that he was very God and we were not killed but delivered. Isn't it? We were not killed but we were delivered. And delivered from what? Delivered from our crook self-life. Deliver from the sin, deliver from the Satan, and the deliver from the eternal death. And not only he delivered us, but also he blessed us. The way he blessed Jacob, he also blessed us with the great, so great salvation that we read in Hebrew. He also blessed us with the eternal life. He also blessed us with all heavenly blessing that we read in Ephesians chapter 1. That's why, you know, the Lord, our God, you know, when he comes to Son, he exalted his Son above all. That is what we read in Philippians chapter 2 from 6 to 11. And he says that Christ, Jesus, in Philippians chapter 2, 6 to 11, he says, Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God and thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the very form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death of death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and the glory of God the Father. And what a beautiful picture, you know, that is shown us. You know, so when the critics, you know, when they criticize some of the passages of the Bible, We have to just, you know, we don't have to carry it away. Oh, is it written like that? But the Vedas say that they don't know. If we can decode it, those passages, you know, it comes out a very beautiful pictures of our Lord or something, beautiful messages for each and every one of us. Now, this is the message, that is the central message of this passage. But as I say, it is a lot of things are there. I can go to the another part and I take another maybe half an hour. But just to end up with this short, that what do we really take away from this whole passage? You know, one thing is very clear, what this passage really say and how there is a hidden story behind that makes us to glorify our God. But what is actually this passage can I can take away? Well, first thing is this, that you see, the Jacob is not first time facing God at this place, right? If you read in chapter 28, Jacob already has experience with God at Bethel, isn't it? He already had experience with Bethel. But that what happens here at the place of Jebuk, that he was totally transformed. And that is exactly in the Christian life is the same. There are many times, you know, we believers, we all have experience at the Bethel, right? What is the Bethel? The place where our sins are forgiven. Right? We come to know Christ. We come to know many things. But the transformation always takes place when you come, as you down the road come, and you're hit by God. When you have really personally, you know, encounter with the Lord. I tell you very frankly, you know, initially I was also very much like Jacob. You know, I had all my plan, all my ideas and everything, you know, and when I had my own that, you know, I want to get into Islamic seminaries and then to become as like a minister to reach out Christians and make them Muslims. That was my plan, and that's the reason it's led me to get into Bible college. And I was crafty in making, you know, I took baptisms, everything. I get in the Bible college, that's also in Kerala, the most, you know, dangerous place I see. All these place. You know, all these leaders, you know, their face is always down with, you know, Pharisees type of look, you know. But, you know, in that particular hard line core of Bible college, you know, I was succeeded to fool them. You know, I was there and reading Bible, and then, you know, Lord caught me. You know, Lord caught me. He said, no. And then I came to know that this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God was a turning point in my life. And then when I came, you know, but, you know, Bible college was so much amazing. Everything was given free. I enjoyed my life. When I left Bible college, I was in OM. You know, OM because I was in a very particular department. I never lacked of anything. You know, OM lavishly gave me everything. I had my, you know, I mean, I taken care so well. I enjoyed my life in OM. Money never lack of anything. But in everything, you know, when the, I was saying something is missing. When the Lord really threw me from all this place and he put me in a foreign country where I have nobody. You know, I have, there a time came, I have no support in anything. That time, I was encountered with God. And that really make me, like Jacob, you know, when he touched his hip, whole life he remembered. That was a transformation. In the same way, I was encountered with God. This Bible college, they just gave me theologies. They just gave me theology, nothing else. You know, OIM, they gave me missiologies. I mean, the global understanding of world missions. But not God. My personal life was not very until I was left alone with the God and he brought me to the knees. I used to get up and pray at 4 o'clock, you know, early morning. But, you know, I seen God very personally. I think, you know, every Christian life, some Christian, they don't want to go beyond Bethel. You know, they don't want to go. I say, okay, you know, fine, you know, I know God. You know, I received the salvation. Heaven is secure. You know, I'm going there. But, you know, if you go ahead want to have, really, God wants to use you, you know, you should have Jabbok experience. where only you will be able to confront and see God personally, and then you will see. You know, as I say, the Bethel Jacob saw ladder, but at Jabbok he saw the Lord. In the Bethel Jacob became a believing man, but at Jabbok he became a broken man. At Bethel he became a son of God, but at Jabbok he became the saints of God. At Bethel he died to his sins. At Jabbok he died to self. At Bethel, he left Bethel with a spring in his step. He left Jabbok with a lasting limb, forever change heart. May God bless us with this. And you know, verse 24, it says, and Jacob was left alone, then he met with God. You know, that is the whole point. You know, unless there are so many things we are caught up. But you know, when you left everything, that's why he left his wife, his children, his materials, all his own, he kept aside. And he said, now I'm going to, that's his verse 24, I'm going to be alone. Maybe that means he wanted to spend with prayer. And in that alone, in his loneliness, you know, he encountered. So sometimes the loneliness is very important. It's very good. That's why Jesus was always with his crowd, his people, his disciple, you know. But there are many times he kept even his own disciple aside. And he was alone with God. So may God bless us with this thought.